Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we begin a brand new series that will help us have a deeper understanding of heaven with author Jonathan Brentner. And then Pastor Larry will address the topic many Christians are currently debating, whether you should attend a wedding of two people who are entering a non-traditional marriage. Not only do we have Watchmen on the Wall each day, we also publish resources, books, and teaching DVDs. We also have a prayer outreach here for you. We have staff ready to pray with you and for your individual prayer needs. Send your prayer concerns to our special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. You can also share your prayer needs with us when you call 1-800-652-1144. At Watchmen on the Wall, we truly believe that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. When we think of heaven, we think of the anticipation of the jubilant reunions and celebrations that will take place after the rapture. We think of the awareness of the rewards for our faithfulness that encourages our hearts during times when we think that no one notices our service for the Lord. Heaven is far better than we can imagine. Today's guest, Jonathan Brentner, is here ready to encourage us that the hereafter is far better than you or I can ever imagine.
Hereafter, what will happen? What will it be like? What will we do? We're going to discuss these questions and more with Christian author and speaker Jonathan Brentner today and tomorrow, Lord willing. He and Terry James have written a new book called Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine. Jonathan, we welcome you back once more to Watchmen on the Wall.
Oh, thanks so much for having me back, Josh.
And this is an exciting book. It talks about the hereafter, and the subtitle is It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine. What's the overall theme of this book? What's your approach as you wrote this book with Terry James?
The overall theme that runs through our book is that of joy, which begins with the rapture and, of course, extends throughout all of eternity. And I've had some questions about the book saying, well, does it just start cover the period beginning with the second coming or just the eternal state? No, it talks about our experience in heaven beginning with the time that the Lord calls us up to meet him in the air. And it just shows the glorious experience that we'll have as believers once that happens. To contrast what we experience in this life, you know, we have so many sorrows, so many physical infirmities. We miss the loved ones who've gone before us. We feel the weakness that comes from aging and the relentless attacks of the devil. But in contrast to the veil of tears, you know, we'll live forever in heavenly bliss that we can only imagine at this current time. And so that is basically the theme of the book, to get believers excited about what lies ahead for them after the Lord comes for us.
And I think that's so very important. You know, when I first saw the book and heard about the concept of hereafter, I thought it was just a book describing heaven, which is a wonderful study. And you do include truths about heaven, but you really include so much more than just a study of what that eternal state will be like, don't you?
Yes, we do. We describe the contrast between what life will be like on earth during the tribulation versus what happens in heaven. And we just get down to the nitty-gritty of what our experience will be and why it matters that we live for him and serve him now because of the rewards that will be ours in eternity.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to say that. And it is going to be a joyous time, the rapture. And when we go to be with the Lord for all of eternity, we'll be with him forever. And there'll be different things. You know, you have the time of the Great Tribulation. Of course, we believe that the church will not be here for that time, but will be raptured up to be with the Lord at that time. And we're going to unpack some of those concepts over today and tomorrow and what that's going to be like. We can't lose sight of the blessed hope as Scripture speaks about it. And so as we live right here, right now, I know that many people sort of dog belief in the rapture, and they say, you Christians aren't really any earthly good. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But how can living with the hereafter in mind help us face trials right now. Help us face difficulties. Help us live right now for the Lord.
It's because that having such a mindset, knowing that joyful and glorious eternity awaits us, enables us to set our affections on that time and when Jesus will end all the current suffering that we have. And it's long been something in my life that has really encouraged me amid the tears and the trials and suffering that I face. When I was a freshman in college, a friend of mine died in a rather freakish accident over Wow. Christmas break. For several months, I really struggled. You know, I felt some anger towards God that he took this friend away from me. But it was when I heard the words to an old hymn that tears began to stream down my face, because I knew that he was in a much better place than I was, and that he was enjoying all the benefits of heaven mm-hmm. that I looked forward to. And let me just read the chorus to it. It's an old hymn called When We See Christ, and the chorus says, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ." And just knowing that heaven awaits us, and it just makes all the difference in the world. And both Terry and I write from the perspective of people who've suffered much. Terry is blind, of course.
Yes.
And he's been blind for many years, since 1994, I believe he's been blind. It's interesting, as we wrote the book and as we shared back and forth, it was remarkable that the words of Hebrews 12:1-2 was key for both of us in our past experiences. And as we zeroed in on the joy that was set before us, that Jesus, as he died on the cross, enduring more suffering than we can even imagine, I believe, you know, it was mm-hmm. the joy that was set before him that enabled him to endure it. And it's the same for Terry and me. It's the same for all believers. It's the joy that the Lord has set before us that enables us to endure the suffering that will surely come our way in this life. Very few people escape it. It's just the way life is, but we have a much better future ahead for us.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. And thank you for sharing the words to that hymn. That's one that I have loved for many years myself. And there's so many songs about heaven, so many hymns about heaven. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of why we sing those songs, is to remind us of this future that awaits us, to remind us of this blessed hope that we have. Dear friends, we're visiting with author Jonathan Brentner. He and Terry James have written a brand new book called Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine. And we encourage you to pick up your copy of this book by calling our ministry at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or by visiting us online at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. This book is 265 pages in length and contains a lot of information about the rapture, the second coming, heaven, and all that is coming hereafter for those who have their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jonathan, we know that there are significant contrasts between what believers will experience after the rapture and what unbelievers will face during the Great Tribulation. Can you explain that for us?
Yes, I can. We put a little bit into the book about what unbelievers and those who come to Christ during this time will experience on earth after the rapture. And we did that just to show the contrast, but also to show the necessity of people putting their trust in Jesus before the time of the rapture. But the contrast could not be any more stark. On earth, you know, you'll have this emerging global government that we already see coming, mm-hmm. the Antichrist, who will appear after we are gone, and then God's judgments that are described in Revelation 6-18, and all these things will make this the most perilous time in all of human history, because this global government, the apostate church of that time, the Antichrist, will be seeking to kill anyone who opposes them or comes to faith in Christ, and God's judgments will sweep over the world on the ungodly during that time. However, in heaven, once we are there with Jesus, we'll experience a time of great jubilation. I know jubilation is kind of an old word, but I think it really speaks to what we'll experience in heaven. There will be reunions with family members and friends. There'll be times of worshiping Him and celebration. I also believe it'll be a time of rest and preparation for our future roles that we'll have in reigning with Jesus. You know, it'll just be a wonderful experience, and when we'll just have the joy of connecting with people, and even if people are very much alone in this life, they will never be alone again once Jesus takes them to heaven. And during this time of celebration in heaven, it'll be establishing new relationships as well as having reunions with family members who've gone before us and friends.
Yes, and that's a very good point that you bring up. You know, we hear from people across America who explain some of the loneliness that they're battling through various life circumstances, or maybe the loss of a loved one, or whatever the case may be. And that's something that we don't emphasize very much, and perhaps not often enough, that the eternal state is going to be the perfect cure for the loneliness, the longing in our hearts to connect with other people. You know, God created us in His image, and part of the image of God is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a perfect community. And so God has designed us as human beings to need community, to need one another. And in the eternal state, after the rapture, we're going to be in that perfect community with our Savior, but with other believers, reunited forever and forever. And how amazing that is.
Yes, it really is. And I know that some might be listening and they might be the only believer in their family, but once they get to heaven, there will be new relationships and new family members to have fellowship with or to have relationships with. It'll be a wonderful time. And so even if you're lonely in this world, that loneliness will end once you're in heaven.
Yes, and in the eternal state, our relationships will be perfect. There won't be any misunderstandings. There won't be any divisiveness. There won't be any gossip, you know, sin, evil. All those things will be quarantined forever in the lake of fire. And we know that, and that's going to be perfect bliss for all of eternity. And that's going to be an amazing day. But after the rapture occurs, we read in Scripture about the judgments of God. Two judgments, the one on the saved, the judgment seat of Christ, and then we see the great white throne judgment, which is for the unbelievers, and that'll come at the end of the age as Satan is cast into the lake of fire, and then God's great white throne judgment is set up. But some Christians are afraid of the judgment seat of Christ, and I've heard some explain it like there's this big screen, and God and everybody are watching you replay all the mistakes that you have made in your life, and everyone is watching and seeing everything that you did wrong, and God is sort of dredging up your past sins and showing you all your failures, and some people are afraid to approach the judgment seat of Christ. I know there ought to be a reverential aspect to it, but should Christians be afraid of the judgment seat of Christ?
No, especially not in the way that you just described it, you know, with believers being afraid of seeing their sins broadcast, because by the time we get to the judgment seat of Christ, we'll stand before Him in perfect righteousness with our immortal bodies. We will not be judged for any sins because Jesus has already paid the debt for our sins. He's
Amen.
Not going to bring them up again. Yeah, we'll stand before Him in our mortal bodies. You know, it will be a time, however, when the Lord will evaluate our faithfulness in serving Him. It will not be a time for judging our sins, as I said, but it'll be one for rewarding our faithfulness. And it's also important for people to take into consideration that you know, that it'll consist of the gifts and talents and opportunities that the Lord has given us to use. And Jesus won't ask us, you know, why weren't you more like Billy Graham? Or any,
right.
or any such question like that. He won't compare us to anyone else, but he'll examine our faithfulness with what we have done, with what he has given to us. And in the book hereafter, we examine the five crowns that the New Testament mentions as possible rewards for our service. And plus, you know, for me, I guess, you know, one of my key love languages is words. And so, you know, what I most look forward to hearing is, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because that'll mean so much more to me. And there's so much adversity in this life, just knowing that the Lord is pleased with my efforts in this life. And understanding these things does give us a great motivation to serve the Lord, to serve him. And Paul described it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so this gives us an encouragement to serve us, to serve the Lord, and also encourages us to use the talents that he has given to us. And so in that respect, you know, we should be careful, not fearful, but like you said, in reverential fear of the Lord, just to use what he's given us to serve him, knowing that he will reward us. However, we will not miss out on eternity. He will not judge our sins or punish us. We may lose out on rewards, but we'll enjoy all of eternity with him just the same.
Yes, amen. I like the way you worded that. I know that the crowns are not for comparison. You know, we're not going to be looking and saying, well, I got five, you only got four, I'm better than you are. No, it's going to be a time of worship, and the Bible speaks about how that we will take those crowns and lay them at the feet of Jesus. We won't be on display. We won't be parading ourselves, but it's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. I love Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So as you shared that last verse in 1 Corinthians 15, that's one of my favorites. God is the one who keeps the record book. He's the one that's taking notice, and we ought to be living for him. And in this world that we live in right now, we need to be motivated with these thoughts that, yes, one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and yes, we're going to face the judgment seat, but we don't need to live in fear. After the judgment seat of Christ, according to Scripture, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, when will this take place, and what will the marriage supper of the Lamb be like?
Okay, well, Terry and I believe that it'll take place in heaven during the time of the tribulation, during the time that the tribulation rages upon earth. There are some very respected Bible scholars who believe that it might happen after the second coming, but Terry and I place it in heaven. That seems to be where Revelation 19 places it. There will be a marriage, probably, of a formal, I don't know what it'll look like, but it talks about the marriage of the Lamb. It talks about the marriage of the church to the Lamb, and then there will be a wedding celebration afterwards. With our earthly wedding celebrations, you know, sometimes, you know, we go, we watch the couple take the vows, and then we sit down for a dinner, and then there might be a dance afterwards. And basically, you know, 4 or 5, 6 hours after we arrive, we're on our way home. But we believe that the marriage supper of the Lamb will last a lot longer than that. In fact, marriage celebrations in the first century could last as long as a week after the vows, and we see no reason why we should even limit our marriage supper of the Lamb to just 1 week or even several weeks. It's very possible that it'll last a lot longer than just 1 week, and I think it'll be a joyous time for us.
Yes, I agree with you. And friends, we're speaking with author Jonathan Brentner about his book, Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine. I encourage you to pick up a copy of this book. It's about 265 pages in length, and covers a lot of what we're talking about today and so much more. We're going to be back tomorrow with more information. You can pick up a copy by going to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. And you can call us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. And pick up your copy of this book, Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine, written by Jonathan Brentner and Terry James. Jonathan, we are looking forward to continuing this discussion on tomorrow's program.
Yes, I am too. Thank you.
We'll hear more about the joys that await the believer in heaven from Jonathan Brentner on our next program. Jonathan's brand new book entitled Hereafter, It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine. It will broaden your understanding of heaven and deepen your longing for Jesus' appearing in the start of eternity. Thoughts of the splendor ahead for believers strengthened the Apostle Paul during his many hardships, and a grasp of the wonders ahead for us as saints will do the same for you. The thrilling perspective presented in Hereafter has changed everything for its authors, and we pray the glimpse of heaven we provide on its pages will lift your eyes heavenward in the expectation of the magnificent blessings that lie ahead of you. Order Hereafter, It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine by Jonathan Brentner today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order this encouraging book at our website, swrc.com. Understanding our lives in the hereafter changes everything. The joy set before us strengthens our hearts for the many trials that come our way. Be encouraged, my friend, when you read this outstanding new book by Jonathan Brentner, Hereafter, It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine. 1-800-652-1144. Pastor Larry comes now to answer a question many Christians have recently been asking and debating. Should a Christian attend a wedding of two people who are entering a non-traditional marriage?
We are living in an age of extreme moral confusion. A question that is becoming one that is being asked by more and more people is this: should I attend a wedding of two people who are entering a non-traditional marriage? Now, what is a non-traditional marriage? Well, a marriage of two people of the same gender, or a marriage involving a person who is a transgender. The question itself causes eyes to roll and heartbeats to increase. It's highly controversial. Many would answer, absolutely not. I'm not going to a wedding like that. For many, those words are uttered as a knee-jerk reaction. But supposing you are the parent or grandparent of someone contemplating marriage, you know that saying absolutely not will cut you off from that person. Are you willing to do that? Do you have to do that? This question has caused much controversy. In January of 2024, we began seeing reports that spoke of anger against and disappointment with Alistair Begg because he gave unbiblical and compromising advice. Begg, who is 71, serves as senior pastor at Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio. He is known for sound biblical exposition and has become a conservative spokesman for the eternal truths of God's Word. According to the Christian Post for January the 26th, 2024, the controversy stems from comments Begg made in a podcast the previous September. As part of the podcast, Begg touched on a specific issue. A grandmother asked him about her grandson, whom she said was about to be married to a transgender person. She wanted to know if it was wrong for her to attend the wedding ceremony. Begg asked, does your grandson understand your belief in Jesus? Yes. Does your grandson understand that your belief in Jesus makes it such that you cannot countenance in any affirming way the choices that he has made in life? Yes, she replied. Begg responded by saying, well then, okay. So long as he knows that, then I suggest that you do go to the ceremony, and I suggest that you buy them a gift. Close quotes. Begg explained that Christians not attending such a ceremony could reinforce judgmental stereotypes our culture holds about the church. Begg said, your love for them may catch them off guard, but your absence will simply reinforce the fact that they said, these people are what I always thought, judgmental, critical, unprepared to countenance anything. As a result of Begg's advice, he has been dropped from at least one Christian radio network and has also been dropped from speaking at a Bible conference hosted by a well-known pastor. Begg has made it absolutely clear in some of his other messages that homosexual practice is not acceptable behavior in God's sight. To put it plainly, such practice is sin. I would agree with Begg and, of course, with the Bible. This is a sin that destroys countries and cultures. We see it in our own country at the present time. However, I must also add that this specific issue was never an issue in biblical times. And no one can say, well, according to the words of Jesus, or according to this passage of Scripture, or thus saith the Lord. We just don't have any statements like that in the Word of God. The point I'm making is that whatever our decision is regarding this issue and Pastor Begg, our conclusions are based on an inference, not on an explicit teaching of the Bible. Whether or not to attend such a wedding is not one of the fundamentals of the faith. Different opinions on the issue should not be a test of orthodoxy. I was speaking in a church one time and this very question came up. The answer I gave did not suit the person who asked the question, and he said, well, can't you read the Bible? Well, yes, I can, but I have read it from cover to cover several times in different translations and in the original languages, and never once have I found an explicit statement that directly addresses this issue. I can understand the concern that some might have. We don't want to seem to endorse an unbiblical lifestyle. Christians are seen as judgmental and harsh. In fact, some of the young people that I have spoken to have been taught to use the Salem witch trials as proof that Christians are judgmental. It is standard fare in public school. 30 people were found guilty, 19 of whom were executed by hanging, as well as 2 dogs. That's what they're saying about us. I'm glad Begg has pushed back at his critics who have called the Scottish native to repent. Begg said, I am not ready to repent over this. I don't have to. Close quote.
Today's resource spotlight is on Jonathan Brentner's brand new book, Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine. Order your copy today and be encouraged. Order when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can order this book at our website as well, swrc.com. Understanding our lives in the hereafter changes everything. Be encouraged when you read this outstanding new book by Jonathan Brentner. 1-800-652-1144. Jonathan will return tomorrow with more encouragement about the hereafter for the believer. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.